And God, those words, they roll quite easily off our tongues. If we have walked with you for any length of time, it's a hymn we know well. And yet, God, I know in my own life, there's this division between that faithfulness leading me into joy and a focus on the challenges and tomorrow and what could go wrong. That worry robs me of the truth of that faithfulness. I confess that. Song to the river, bringing my stuff. It's what I had to bring this morning. And we come to your word today and look at, you say to us, do not worry, but so grateful that you don't just say it. You say it in a context of love and of truth and helping us see why we worry and giving us not five easy steps, but some next steps, some correction. So God, today as we look what your word has to say about this very real issue, anxiety, worry, challenge, may the truth that you are faithful reign over it, King forever. Fear cannot stand when we praise you. God, help us see the truth in that as we come to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know if you've had this experience this summer, but I know you've had it. Maybe it was camping in a tent. Maybe it was at home, your own room, and you're just settling in to go to sleep, and there's that sound. Gets louder. Mosquito. Well, you might as well forget trying to sleep, right? Nothing quite disrupts trying to go to sleep than the zzzz of a mosquito. Nasty thing, huh? If only that was the only kind of mosquito that keeps us up at night. There's another mosquito we can name worry. And in some ways, that mosquito has almost more power. And it isn't even always at night. Am I going to have enough money? Am I going to be able to handle that next challenge at my job? Is my job going to be there? What is that person thinking of me? What if they don't like me? What if life's going to get harder because of it? It's going to be a really, really strange semester coming up. What's school going to look like? Am I going to be able to handle it? Will I stay healthy? Will COVID ever go away? Am I going to have permanent mask lines on my face? Worry. And so instead of living in today and all that it offers, I kind of live in tomorrow and what might happen and the fear and the anxiety of that. Do you know where we get the word worry in English? It comes from an old English word that means to strangle, to seize by the throat. Kind of makes sense, right? Nothing quite seizes our day by the throat than worry. Kind of robs today's joy. And it quite fits the Greek word, the original word in the Bible for worry. It's a word that comes from a root to mean to divide. So that instead of living in today and God's presence in today and all that today holds, I'm divided by thinking of all that could go wrong tomorrow. And that division comes and strangles life. We're in a series talking about biblical disruptions. Disruptions in life that are addressed in God's Word. What do we do when tomorrow's worries disrupt today's joy, today's well-being? What do we do with that disruption? Yeah, I'm grateful that the Bible, while it says do not worry, doesn't just say that, because I think we've all tried that. Just stop worrying. It's kind of like, stop thinking about the mosquito in the room and go to sleep. Not going to work, right? You kind of have to get to the root issues. Eventually, you have to do something about it. Find that mosquito. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, because there we find that little phrase, do not worry, do not be anxious. But I want to show you how God graciously doesn't just say it without putting a whole lot around it. So Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, we will notice the grace in the word therefore in a moment. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? I think sometimes it's easy in our do-it-ourself world. We see that little line, do not worry, and we go, okay, I got to make it happen. But that's totally to miss what Jesus is saying. Therefore, do not worry. If you see the word therefore, he's really saying, do not worry based on what I've just said. I'm indebted to a man named Darrell Johnson and his unpacking of this passage of Scripture, because he really pointed this out for me, the grace of the word therefore. We're going to look today at some reasons we worry. We're going to look at the mosquito. We're going to look beneath the worry to maybe why we're doing it in the first place. But then he goes on, after that, is not life more than food, the body more than clothes? And that leads to a whole bunch of kind of next steps. And again, these aren't quick, easy steps. They're just ways to change our thinking, to get back into today. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to look at a couple of reasons that Jesus says we worry in the first place. And then we'll look at a couple of antidotes to stop the division, to stop the strangling, the power of the Spirit. Now again, in this time where we know there's time to talk about these things. So I'm going to be giving a couple of questions along the way that hopefully after the message, if you're in your homes or you're heading home, time to talk about. So question one, what are some of the situations that cause you to worry? A lot of fear and anxiety in our world. Let's just not pretend it's not there. Let's look at the mosquito. And then what have been some of your struggles in trying not to worry? Because if we look at what doesn't work, maybe we can come back to what Jesus says does work. So what does he say does work? I think he starts by saying, look beneath the worry, at the reasons why. So let's come at what Jesus says here about some reasons that we worry. And the first one is simply this. We worry because we're putting our confidence in that which really isn't trustworthy. We worry because we're putting our weight on chairs that don't hold our weight. Let me go at this. I read about a museum in Brooklyn, and they have an Egyptian exhibit. And one of the questions he got the most was this: how come in your Egyptian area the noses are broken off the statues? Well, he kind of thought, well, they're thousands of years old. But then he started to notice how much Egyptian art, any of these idols, how many of them had their noses, their ears broken off? And in doing some research, he found out there's more to it than time. Fact of the matter is, their worldview, their belief was that that statue actually is where their god lived. So think about it. If you want to get rid of their God and have power over them, what do? You kill their God. If you cut off their nose, they can't breathe. You cut off their ears, they can't hear your prayers. In fact, they find that the pharaohs in those days, the kings of those days, exacted harsh penalties if anyone went to vandalize the nose of one of their statues. And we today think, well, how silly is that? How can you put your confidence in something that vulnerable that all you got to do is take a little chisel and go tit, 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 and the nose is off? Well, Jesus says, we got a lot of noses that we put our confidence in that can quickly get knocked off. So we go up to verse 19. Therefore, based on what is said before. So what is said before? Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Now, there's a couple ways you can go at this passage. One is to talk about money itself, but one is to talk about the things we put confidence in that cause us to worry. And an example of that is our earthly treasure, our money, our stuff. And Jesus is saying, therefore do not worry, but look beneath why you worry. And part of it is, if you are putting your confidence in earthly treasure, you know it's going to corrode. The little animals can get at it in that day, as they can now. Mice in your wardrobe. Thieves can take it. It's vulnerable. They knew that. So why do we worry? We worry because we look at our future and our security and our well-being and we think, all that's vulnerable is my hope. We've seen the vulnerability of economies, stock markets, just in these last months. We've seen the vulnerability of whole sectors of jobs. We've all experienced the vulnerability of putting our hope in people because we're human and we're going to misunderstand each other and we're going to disappoint each other. We've seen that educational delivery systems have to change. We've seen how vulnerable our health is. That as much as we don't want to admit it, we're all prone to aging and disease and accident. And Jesus is saying, if you put your future security, your future well-being, your worth, into something that's nose can be chipped off, not only are you going to worry, you're going to get all wound up. I love a passage that just so reflects this. It's found in Isaiah 30. God's people here, people around Jerusalem, are in a time when there's some really big countries coming at them. And they're looking for alliances to make, even unholy ones, to keep themselves safe. Instead of turning to God, they're turning to other nations that are vulnerable. And here's what God says. Verse 15, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. If you would just look to me for your future and your well-being, instead of all the alliances and everything you're doing, guess what? You'd have rest. The mosquito would go away. But you would have none of it. You would have none of it. But I can see my wealth. I can trust my job. I see other people. I can put my trust in them. My image. The problem with that then is we get all wound up trying to shore up on our own what we're hoping to put our confidence in. That's the next verse. He said, no, we'll flee on horses, therefore you'll flee. You'll get wound up. And it's exactly what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Go down to verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money. We end up serving what we put our confidence in. And so our confidence is in money. Guess what? We give more thought, more anxiety to building up our assets. Takes up more of our time. As we saw in the little kids' time, in the end, what does it mean? We put our confidence in our jobs. So again, we end up more of our mind space, more of our preoccupation, more of our time. And we live at the boss's whim in the economy. We put our confidence in other people and their response to us. So more thought on what are they thinking and what do I need to do to keep them happy. And sometimes we end up manipulating and... confidence in our health. We get hypervigilant about this symptom or that symptom and the latest fad on the internet to take care of ourselves. And I'm not saying we shouldn't eat well and exercise, but sometimes it takes over. It becomes our master. So Jesus is saying, if you're worrying, instead of just trying to stop, look beneath. Why are you worrying? What are you trying to protect? Where are you trying to get security? And instead of shoring up something that doesn't have a strong nose, just admit it. So that's reason number one we worry. Reason number two is this. Our vision is limited to what we see, what we think we can control. We don't see God in the midst. All we see is what our eyes, our physical eyes see. Let me go at it. There's a really weird little story I read. A radio personality, a host, I think in Britain, he goes to the store, buys some broccoli, comes home and finds a caterpillar in it. Now, instead of doing the smart thing and maybe letting the store know, he thought, I'm going to raise this caterpillar. And I'm going to let my listeners kind of in on it. So researches what kind and how to take care of that caterpillar, gives him all the broccoli and has to go and get more. He finds actually five more caterpillars in the next broccoli. So now he's got like six caterpillars. He's named the first one Cedric. And he does everything that he knows to take care of this caterpillar and watches it turn into a chrysalis, a cocoon, a butterfly, and he lets it go. And he keeps all of his listeners aware. And I guess the thought I would have is this. Imagine you're one of those caterpillars. Probably thinking it's all up to me. I got to find my next broccoli. Really without a sense that there is a hand taking care of me and behind the hand a very caring heart. Two different ways to live if you're the caterpillar. Even I know someone's got my best interest at mind, I can relax. Or I got to keep looking. This is exactly what's being addressed in verses 22 and 23. And again, it's part of the therefore. Part of the why we worry. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It's Jesus saying. How you see determines your inner health. If it's light, If you see reality as God sees reality, and the truth of the matter there is that God is with us. He is the loving hand. It's not a moment, not a day goes by where God's hand is not with us. And Jesus is saying, if only you can see it. All year we've talked about 2020 vision and how 2020 vision takes us beyond what we see with our physical eyes to this reality that God is with us. But he's saying, if your vision is darkness, if you see without God, you're on your own. You spend your life looking for broccoli, wondering if you have enough, wondering what people think, wondering what happens if there's an accident, an illness, trying to control other people so your life's better. Mosquitoes are born out of dark thinking. Look beneath. That anxiety comes, look beneath. So here's a couple of questions to think about with this. Why is it important for us to explore why we're worrying? Why should we just kind of, instead of trying not to worry, what am I worried about? What am I putting my, why is that important? And then, what are some common places people look for security or worth or well-being in our culture? And in what ways are these realities vulnerable to failure? And how might people, safer than we, but that's kind of where it's at, how might we be driven to shore up the security from these realities? And how does this actually contribute to our anxiety? There's something to think about. So we begin by saying, here's this mosquito, this worry. Jesus doesn't just say, stop listening to the mosquito. He says, first of all, look beneath. Why is that sound so loud? What are you putting your confidence in? Are you seeing God in the midst? Well, after that, Jesus then says, okay, therefore, based on that, don't worry. Okay, but I look at why. Where do I go from there? And it's been all about bringing God into the situation. So how do I do that? And Jesus says, well, here's a few things. Again, not three easy steps, but here's a couple antidotes, directions, correctives. First one is this. Look around. Look around you. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Verse 28, and why do you worry about your clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Isn't it fascinating how the Creator became one of us? And looks at us as his creation and says, you're not even noticing what I made. What I gave you, the signs that point to me. You know, the fascinating thing, we don't stop worrying by trying not to worry as much as we stop by looking at truth. And there's a lot of truth in creation. All around us, if we just stop. I think I've told this story on myself before. I think way back to when I was in seminary, working at Central Baptist Church, a lot going on. Donovan's about 1 year old. It's getting to Christmas. There's the programs. There's final exams. There's everything going on. Jeannie had something with the ladies at church. So I'm at church, and I'm watching Donovan, and I'm running around looking for Donovan. Where's Donovan? Where's Donovan? And I come up to Jeannie. Where's Donovan? She looks at me. Lyle, you're holding him. I'm so preoccupied that I miss what's right here. Look around. Take a walk. Jeannie and I had a few opportunities. We had more of a staycation than a vacation, but How can you not drive around Alberta in July and see the canola? God didn't need to make it that color. It's beautiful. Did it work on that color? No. Look up in the sky. I know I've told the story many times of that night when our son Donovan fell off a cliff and he's in surgery, and just going outside in the night sky in Calgary and seeing the greatness of it and this sense in the greatness of God saying, hey, if I got this, I got this. It wasn't an assurance. It was all going to turn out, just got this. You ever picked up a leaf? I mean, how many hundreds, thousands of trees are there in Edmonton? How many leaves on each tree? Have you ever picked up one and looked at it? The detail? What makes it green? Maybe one of the things we need to do when we're worried is take a walk. And say, God, open my eyes. You're faithful all around. Help me see that. And instead of what could go wrong tomorrow, all that God's doing today all around me. Look around. But then he says, look beyond. Look beyond. We as followers of Jesus sing the songs again and again and again. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. Time to sing your song again. And whatever may pass, whatever goes before me, let me be singing when the day is done. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What are you saying? Lord, I get up and you're there. I go to bed and you're there. And at the end of the day, let me look back and see that you've been there all day. And we sing that and we go, it's true. And then worry comes and strangles that, and we forget God. Look beyond. Let's go down to verse 32. 31. So don't worry, saying, what do we eat, or what do we drink, or what do we wear? The pagans run after all these things. The word pagans there is simply those that don't acknowledge Jesus as God and the reality of a God at work among us. They run after all these things. But your Heavenly Father knows you need them. That's a part of this. How much more, if God takes care of birds and canola fields, how much more does He know what you need? So, verse 33, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. All the rest will come. Seek first His kingdom. Now, the kingdom there, when we talk about the kingdom, yes, it's coming in its fullness, but Jesus came and said, the kingdom is at hand, the kingdom is here. Already, because Jesus came, died, and rose, the reality of a living God among us and the Holy Spirit is here. If you're a follower of Jesus, there is not a moment in your life that God in His fullest presence is not with you. He is here. So seek it. Look beyond to the reality of God with you in the midst of this. And that isn't saying tomorrow's going to be easy and without challenge. It just is saying God is going to be with you then too. Until there comes a day when there won't be anything to worry about. But if we look forward to that right now, this same God is at work, right? So seek first His presence among you and just His righteousness. Just follow Him. How do we navigate COVID? Follow Jesus. How do I know what to do with my money? Follow Jesus. What are people thinking? What does Jesus think? Really aligns it, doesn't it? How do we do this? How do we seek and look beyond? One way is in the morning, wake up and say, God, help me see you today. Just a few days ago, as I knew I was coming back to work and had felt rested and just didn't want to walk into a river running and get all embroiled in it again, I said, God, I need a song. Going through the day, a song comes from when I'm probably in high school, from Keith Green, just the line of it. Jesus, you're the one. And I'm trying to think through the other words. And again, I hadn't thought of that song forever, so I prayed about this. So I do a little Googling and find out it's called Rushing Wind. Rushing wind, blow through this temple, through me, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me. I've been born again. Holy Spirit, I surrender. Take me where you want to go. Plant me by your living water. Plant me deep so I can grow. Not like Jesus is saying, well, Lyle, you'll get back to work and COVID's done and everything's going to be normal. He said, there's a Holy Spirit who as rushing wind can blow through the dust, anxieties, wrong ways of seeing, His breath planting me deep. Thank you, God. I asked you to show me something and you did. Maybe this is true. Pray, God, make me aware of your presence. Give me a line of a song. Help me see something in creation. Maybe another way is just to pause, and there's different ways to do it. Part of our technology with our phones and our watches, what would it look like to have some times where there's a beep? Why is it beeping? Well, for none other reason than to remember that God is with me. What about at the end of the day, just a little bit of time? There are a few things I'm thankful for. What was hard today? Where was God in the middle of it? Take me beyond. It takes intentionality, and I think this would be a great thing to talk about. You know, as I think about this thing, a couple questions. One, in what ways have you come to appreciate more of God's character at creation? So talk about that with each other. And then, how might we more intentionally bring the reality of God's active presence into our lives? How can we look beyond and see the presence of God in whatever the coming challenge is? Well, that's what Jesus says about this worry thing. I don't know about you. It's in my mind. And I know how frustrating it can be when it's just, don't do it, don't think that way, but what about? Look beneath. Why are you worried? What are you putting your confidence in that doesn't hold? And have you thought about God's presence? Look beneath. And then having done that, look around. Seek out a work. It's in the leaf. It's in the canola field. It's in the sky. It's in the thunder. It's in every sunrise. He's faithful. And then look beyond. God, help me see your kingdom. Help me believe what I sing. When I say, great is your faithfulness, you're a king forever. You're here with me now, even as you will be with me tomorrow. So why do I take all the time today trying to control what I have no control of and just trust you to be there tomorrow? But help me do that. By your Spirit. Help me see. Seek the reality of your kingdom and what it looks like to follow you. Trust you for the rest. That mosquito of worry. Boy, has COVID ever got that one. Volume. Jesus' words 2,000 years ago ring true today. It doesn't have to control you. Look beneath. I'm the one, alone, you can put your weight on. Do you know God is not uptight by COVID? Really. He's really not. In fact, I think one of the things he's doing is waking us up to opportunities in this. God's not pacing the halls of heaven going, oh boy, this is going to be a really weird fall in the world. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's not. No one has knocked off God's nose. But there might be some things we're putting our confidence in whose nose got knocked off a long time ago. Look beneath. Look around. Quite the creation. God who made that is with us. So look beyond. Say, God, help me bring your reality into all these things I'm thinking about. Knowing that when I get there, and most of what we think about is going to happen anyway, but whatever happens, you're going to be there. Do not worry. Because when you look beneath, God says, I'm there. You look around, I'm there. When you look beyond, I'm there. That's enough. Let's pray. God, lots of words. We need your Spirit to make it real. This is a disruption that just seems so powerfully at work. God, to be reminded and remember again, you're on the throne, you always have been, you always will be. You're not stressed. God, forgive us when we make you so small in our image. God, we're going to sing, Bless the Lord, O my soul. 10,000 reasons to bless you. Every one of them an antidote to the anxiety that comes when we elevate ourselves and our false sense of control. So we bless you. And pray that by your Holy Spirit, the voice of the mosquito will lessen as your Spirit enables us to look beneath, around, and beyond and see you there. Let's sing this together. Let's receive this truth. Let's bless God together.